it is time for our biblical worldview question of the week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Good morning to you in these times of uncertainty.
Good morning, Steve and Kelly, in these times of certainty that God is in control of this. You know what I mean?
Oh, amen. Yeah. Thank you for that.
We're excited about this question because here's the thing. Right now, you can look at, you go out, you go to the stores, you can see some despondent looks in people's faces. You can see there's concern. There are thoughts of fear. You just know that it's underneath. There's fear underneath their every thought. And I want to be cautious here because we know we have the hope of Christ in all of this. So how do people have some peace when they are afraid, Nancy?
Yes, and again, Steve, some of that has to do with your television. You know, you don't have to turn it on all the time and have that fear reinforced. But in a biblical sense, we see that there are two kinds of fear. One fear is the fear of the Lord. This awe, this sense of great awe, which is beautiful and can lead to wisdom and understanding, as we see in Psalm 111. It's also a fear of the Lord. That kind of fear brings life and rest when we can just say, God, you are bigger than everything. You are in control. Why am I going off the deep edge right here? But the second kind of fear, and I think this is probably where most are during times like this, can bring on severe anxiety, which will affect our mental and physical health. And it's that spirit of fear that gets in us. It's 2 Timothy 1:7, which hinders our walk with God, you know, and it's a tool that the devil uses to distract us from the truth as to who God really is, that he is sovereign. He is in control, and he is using this to draw people to himself. It's a different way of looking at it, but it's the biblical way.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away with our biblical worldview question of the week, which is, how can I have peace when I'm so afraid? And Nancy, you bring Rahab into your explanation. What can we learn from her story about having peace?
Yes, and remember that Rahab, that God included her in the lineage of his son. So this one act she did, obviously, God was pleased, and so it bears us looking at it. You know, she was a Canaanite living in the day in the city of Jericho, just before God sent the Israelites to take it over. So it's pre-war, and everybody is terrified. But the thing about Rahab, she had a pagan upbringing, but she stepped out in faith and check this out. She chose to believe in God of Israel. And she chose to believe in God because she heard and believed the stories of his miraculous act, who he was, his all-powerfulness. And her faith became rock solid, and she did not cave to impending dangers, to the situation. She stood apart from absolutely everybody else in Jericho. And this is what is absolutely so amazing. She went so far as dared to disobey her own king and the rules of Jericho by hiding two Israelite spies in her home. And she said this, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear." And that word melting in fear, they're just dissolving. They don't know who they are. They just want to just sit down on the ground and just become a puddle of fear. And this is kind of what I'm sensing as you were talking today and just for the last several days. So they were melting in fear And she said, because of you, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. And this is what she's saying. And the Israelite spies repaid Rahab by sparing her life and her family while the rest of the Canaanites living in Jericho were destroyed. And after taking a closer look, we can see that she was not the only one who feared the God, but she refused to melt. And the thing is, they too heard stories about God in the parting of the Red Seas and all that stuff. But Abraham alone submitted her fear to God with a true, authentic faith and respect for him rather than cave in fear. And the thing is, she elevated the honor and awe and respect of God over all her fears. She chose to do that. She chose to remember who God was and obviously asked God to give her faith over her fears. And it's just a beautiful story. And I thought, wow, what a great example she was. When everybody else is melting, I'm going to stand strong. I'm not going to cave to this.
Well, Nancy, what is that great weapon that we have in fighting fear, right? Talk about that.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, I think we're talking about a battle of feelings here, that we know the truth. We know this virus is serious. We know it's going to kill people. We know our president has taken a very bold step, as well as the vice president, you know, and governors and mayors of towns around this country. We know they're taking bold steps, and we need to know that God is in control. And the thing is, we can fight fear with truth. And if we live in fear of feelings, when we allow our feelings to get to start making decisions for us, you know, that is, it's awful. And we need to be content that instead of throwing up a prayer, you know, to God for instant relief, just fix this, God, we have to realize, I think it's a great opportunity to ask God, what can we learn through this? As you were talking about a little earlier, people are nicer in stores, at least in the Midwest, you know, trying to help people. And that should be our attitude. But just asking God to get rid of us, God, in the midst of it, brings this country to its knees. We become a country who has forsaken God. And God, just please use this to bring about your peace, the real peace that we're looking at. I'm thinking of 1 John 4:18, you know, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And again, for the Christian, I just keep thinking about this over and over again. For the Christian, you know, if this disease kills us, we live. And if we live through it, we live. So again, it's this idea, we really, for the true Christian who has an authentic faith in the God of the scriptures, we win either way. Mm-hmm. And we have a job to do, and it's to pray for others, and it's to reach out. You know, I think, I really do. I think Satan will do all he can to get us to doubt through our feelings. And that fear of the future, you know, or even other fears, what people think of us or failure, whatever it is, when we believe the lies of fear, it gets in the way of experiencing and living out the freedom of God's perfect love. And we want to be men and women who are bathed in that perfect love.
Absolutely. I've loved this morning, Nancy. Thank you for this. I mean, I love what you said. It is unfortunate that there are people who are losing their lives with this virus. But for the Christian, if we die, we live. If we live, we live. He has it all covered. Mm-hmm. He's sovereign. Nothing changed with God. Our circumstances can change on a dime, but he remains the same. And we can find comfort in that.
Absolutely. And I just think it's good to close with Philippians 4. I mean, there is a cure to fear, and his name is God. But just listen to Philippians, how he tells us that we do have control of our minds. when he said, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every single situation, by prayer and petition, that is praying for others, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let God know. And when you do that open-handedly, the scripture goes on to say, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And this is the key, I think. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the cure. It's to focus on God. It's to think about what is true, not somebody's opinion, not somebody's fear tactic. It's simply knowing God, knowing he is in control and he can take evil like that virus, and you know that he hates, and he can make something out of it. He can grow our faith. He can bring us closer to people in need. So I see it as an opportunity, I really do, of growing in my own personal faith and being very aware of the people God's put in my path so I can reach out, call them, make sure they're okay.
Well, we have an incredible opportunity to lean into the Maker right now at this particular time and season in our life. And so this has been really, truly helpful, I believe, Nancy, when I think about that peace that we can find in Christ when we lean in. And so I thank you for another incredible installment of our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week.
Well, thank you, and blessings to you, and thank you for pushing through, share, and reaching the hearts and souls of a lot of us who we need some encouragement that we're not getting on TV. So keep up the good work.
All right. So where are we going to find some information about Anchors Away?
Anchorsaway.org, everyone. Go to anchorsaway.org. And I would suggest you're home with your family. Go to anchorsaway.org and look at the unanswered smoke, mirrors, and God. It's built for families to study together. And has a little video deal, a DVD with it. And it's very simple, but it teaches basic worldview in discussion form. So I think you would love it. And give it a try, and we'll send it off to you immediately.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Nancy. That was a good question this week.